You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
I'm excited for this message. It's unfortunately the last in our series, which some of you are going to be bummed about. Some of you might be excited about, like, thank God, we need to end this thing. This technically is part 10 of this series, if you've been around for the last few months. We did the problems with Christianity for 6 weeks, took a break, and then kicked it off again for another, this is week number 4 of part 2. So this is, if you do the math, it's part 10, technically. But we've tackled some really big questions and big topics that people have issue in regards to Christianity in this series. In fact, if you've struggled with doubt, if you maybe even aren't a believer, many of these problems we've addressed are some problems that maybe you have with Christianity. There's a lot of people that say, I would never become a believer because of blank. Because I don't even believe that there is a God. We talked about that. How can we know there is a God? I don't think we can trust this Bible. It's old-fashioned. How do you know this is reliable? We talked about that. Then there's the big problem of evil and suffering. I just can't reconcile that and God. The last couple of weeks, I've had fun with those two topics. We talked about sex and sexuality and how that proves there's a God. And we talked about genocide in the Bible last week. That was a good one and a tough one if you missed out. So all those are online. You can check them out online or podcast them if you missed any of those. Big, important questions I think we need to, if you're a believer, you need to have good answers in response to these questions and these problems that people have. So today is another big one. We're ending with a really very important topic, and it's this whole tension and seeming conflict between science and religion. It's a big deal in our culture today. Have you noticed? There's a war here. There's a battle going on. And so some people would say faith is directly opposed to science. You can't be someone who believes in science and has a faith in any sort of religion. So that's what we're going to look at today. Are people who believe in God not allowed to believe in science? Is faith in opposition to reason and evidence? Because a lot of people think that that is the case. So this is a struggle within our culture today, within our country. And it's not just outside the church, it's also inside the church. Check this out. Recent statistics show us by the Pew Research people, 59% of people believe science and religion are often in conflict. That's a lot of people. Inside the church, that's at 50% compared to 73% for those who do not attend church. So that means one in two of people inside the church struggle with this. And they feel a tension. They sometimes maybe feel like there's some doubts. They can't answer questions. And so they feel like science conflicts with this faith that they have and they wholeheartedly, genuinely want to believe in. So this is a very important topic, not just for outside the church, but I think for inside the church. So we're going to look at this here today, and maybe this topic doesn't interest you. And that's okay if it doesn't. Hopefully by the end of this message it does. But this is important because you and I need to be able to engage in conversations in regards to science and theology. If you and I can't engage in these conversations, then we're going to be quickly pushed aside by certain people. And I pray that we'd be a church that's able to reach unchurched people. We really want to be that type of a church, and I want you to be that type of person that can connect with people who believe differently from you, and that you can actually engage in conversations with them. We've talked about how this is loving the Lord, our God, with our mind. That's what this series really centers around. Okay, we want to love him with all of our heart, our soul, and our strength, and our mind. And so this centers around that, and so we've got to understand a little bit about science so we can talk about it, because, like it or not, science has a loud voice in the public square today. Super loud, very strong, and the Christian who is ignorant about this is going to be, like I said, quickly pushed aside. So I think it's important that we take time to learn and listen in regards to topics like this. And what we're doing is we're doing what Peter encouraged us to do in 1 Peter. He said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. So you look at that verse, and he's telling us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. I think we should stop right there and ask ourselves, is anyone even asking me? If no one's asking me about my faith, is that because they don't know I have a faith? Why is that? Could be. So Peter is assuming that you and I are going to be asked. There's an assumption there, and hopefully you are being asked. That's the goal. Even by how you live your life, people take notice, like, you're different. What's going on? Tell me about your life. What's what? Why do things not seem to affect you? And so you want to be able to give a reason for this hope that you have in Jesus. So be prepared. Be ready. If someone says, hey, evolution is a proven fact, how do you reconcile that with your Christian faith? What do you say to that? Because a lot of people would say that. I've heard it out of people's mouths. Professors, authors say, since we know evolution is a fact, and they'll go on with their sentence. How do you respond to that? So this is us making sure that I've studied this, I know this, I get this. I have things that I know about this so I can actually talk about this, because there's a lot of people that say, I don't need faith, I don't need any religion because I have science. There's a lot of people that this science is all we need, provides all the answers. Remember watching Nacho Libre? Nacho Libre's sidekick, Steven. And he's like, that was his real name, Steven. He went by like a Skeletor or something like that, the skeleton. That's what he became. It was something like that. That's not right, I don't think, but it sounds like He-Man. I just said He-Man's adversary, Skeletor. It was something like that. But he's like, why are you always judging me because I only believe in science? Remember when he says that? You know, because they had this science and religion debate. And so there's a lot of people out there that are like that, science is all that I need. And so we don't want to judge them. And we also don't want to argue with them as well. But we want to be prepared to give an answer to the questions that are raised, and to be able to have some good, healthy dialogue, not arguing, not judging, but be able to discuss these things. So if you are a believer in Jesus, I want you to know that you don't have to abandon your mind. You don't have to stop thinking. You don't have to ignore evidence. And what we said all throughout this series is that Christianity is not a blind faith. It is a reasoned faith. So there's good reason to this. There's good evidence to this. So we're going to look at that today and address this myth that says science is opposed to faith. I think that's a myth. And that people who believe in God don't believe in science. And so this is made popular by the secularism of today. We're living in a very secularistic culture now, and we can thank the Enlightenment for that, by the way. You know, 500 years ago, the Enlightenment hit, and it was great in a lot of ways, but unfortunately, people started making decisions, and it's been a process throughout these last few hundred years, but decisions used to be made in groups and societies and in tribes and in families. Now it's all individualistic. This is what I think. This is my belief. This is my opinion. This is how I want to live and how I want to operate my life. It's very individualistic, and that's secularism. It elevates self and me, and I don't need anyone or anything else. And so secularism points us to naturalism now. Everything can be explained naturally through the sciences. And so the popular belief today is that science and naturalistic evolution provides all the answers we have to the questions that we have. Why am I here? How? What's the purpose of my life? What happens after I die? Those are the important foundational questions of life. And so people will say, science provides that for us. We don't need religion. It's just a crutch. It doesn't help anybody. So we've entered a time, a day and age, where people are looked down upon if they have religion or if they have a faith in Jesus. And you're considered to be irrational and someone who doesn't care about evidence, and even considered to be primitive, because that's the way people of the old used to think. I even heard one Christian say before he became a believer in Jesus, he thought that there was smart people and dumb people. And all the dumb people were those that were into religion, especially Christians. He's like, this is how I honestly thought. This is how everybody thinks. Not everyone, but a lot of people think. He says, this is where I was. I didn't want to become a dumb person and put my faith in Jesus. But then he put his faith in Jesus, found out God was real. But he's just kind of thinking back, like, that's where I was. And that's where a lot of people are. And if you find yourself in this place of faith, you find yourself in putting your faith in Jesus, a lot of people will look down on you, make fun of you, and think you are irrational and dumb. Richard Dawkins, he kind of leads a lot of this. He is a guy we've quoted a lot in this series too, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. But he said, faith is like a mental illness, a great cop-out, the excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate the evidence. That's what people think about religion and Christianity. And then this other guy, Sam Harris, prominent atheist, he said, we have names for people who have many beliefs for which there is no rational justification. When their beliefs are extremely common, we call them religious. Otherwise, they are likely to be called mad, delusional, or psychotic. And you got books out there like this one, Faith versus Fact. And it kind of just draws a line in the sand, like this is it, like either on the side of faith or fact, but you can't have both. And so go ahead and go with your faith, but the rest of us, we're going to go with truth and facts. And so you can see the division that's taking place within our culture here today. People look at Christianity and even religion in general as irrational thinking, people who don't care about the evidence, but on the other side of it, it's all about the evidence, all about facts, it's all about things that we can prove. And it's easy to see why a lot of people go that direction, because a lot of these prominent atheists have a very loud voice, like I said, and they speak with such conviction that they're convincing. Even when they say things like, since evolution is proven fact, we know that this is what happened, and there's so many other examples that we could give. And so they sway a lot of people, and a lot of them, unfortunately, are professors in our universities. And so when believers go off to university, their faith is shaken because they're listened to this, they're looked down upon, they're made fun of, and all of a sudden, there's this crisis of faith. Because people think that other people of faith are dumb. But I want to pose something different. What if faith and reason went together really well? What if the world of science and the world of Christianity actually belong together in perfect unity in such a way that actually Christianity gave better sense of the evidence than atheistic explanations did? What if I think that that's the case? And I'm going to present to you my thoughts on this, but let's start with what Romans 1:20 says. Romans 1:20, the Bible says this. It says that for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So the Bible says nature points to God. The evidence you see by what's in the world around us and nature, what's been created, points to a creator. It is clear. Unfortunately, people look at nature and they don't interpret it that way. And it's very unfortunate because if they continue to do that for the rest of their life, they're going to stand before the creator and they're going to go, oh Lord, dear God, I interpreted the evidence the wrong way. You are real. I get it now, but it's going to be too late in that moment. But through what has been made in nature, we can clearly see God. And that's what the Bible tells us. I really believe, guys, that faith and science are compatible. They go hand in hand. They are awesome together. And so I'm going to give you a few reasons. Number one is this. If you're taking notes, write these down. If you're not taking notes, write these down. Because it's going to help you. Okay, I want to give you some. If you want to have conversations with people about these types of things, you got to have a few things written down. Okay, so contrary to popular myth, number one, the church has never been the enemy of science. There's a lot of people that think this. Many of us have thought this, have felt this, we've been told this. People like to point back to times in history where scientists would persecute, or the church would persecute scientists and even kill them. But when you dive into history, you realize that's not completely accurate. Now, let's be real. The church has made some really dumb decisions, and they've done some things that I'm not proud of, that they shouldn't have done. Okay, so there are some checkered things about the history of the church. But in regards to some of the stories that have been propagated and some of the scientists that have been persecuted, it really wasn't because of their science. When you study history, you find out that all the disagreements were because of theology. Not science. Galileo is one of the most prominent guys that historians and even atheists nowadays like to point to and say, hey, look, science and church has always been at odds. And yes, Galileo was persecuted, but he was not tortured. The myth now is that the church tortured him. He was arrested. He was put on house arrest. He was persecuted, but it wasn't because of science. It was because of his theology. And so we've got to get our history straight, so that we can interpret it the right way. Another myth that's been circulated throughout our day and age is that the medieval church believed that the Bible taught that the earth was flat, and then science came along and disproved the Bible, showed us that the earth was round, and the church got ticked off about it. They just were outraged by this. Well, that's not true. That didn't happen, actually, for ages. Since the ancient Greeks, we knew the earth was round. They would watch ships sail out into the ocean, and they could see the mast, but not the rest of the ship. They'd say, oh, yeah, the earth is round. They'd see the earth reflected on the moon. Oh, look, round. So they always thought, but somehow this myth has been circulated, and we think, oh, dear God, and these things can shake our faith. For some of us, it can shake our faith. So how did we get here? Why is there such a tension between science and religion? Well, historians who have researched this, they all agree that the science versus religion controversy is something that was falsely fabricated back in the 19th century. You could really narrow it down to two authors back in the 19th century that proposed this in their books. And they said, look at this, you know, the science and church, they don't mix, they've always been at odds and all this. And since then, those authors have been discredited, those books were discredited, but unfortunately, the message continues to roll, continues to circulate, and is still strong. And that's why we feel this tension, and even people inside the church today would say, like, I feel like science is opposed to my faith at times. Well, that's not true. It was fabricated. This was all made up. And so that's why, again, I say it's important for us to know our history. The church and science has always had a beautiful history, actually. You get underneath the hood. Alistair McGrath, he's an Oxford professor, and he said this. He said, the idea that science and religion are in perpetual conflict is no longer taken seriously by any major historian of science. One of the last remaining bastions of atheism, which survives only at the popular level, namely, the myth that an atheistic, fact-based science is permanently at war with faith-based religion. They're not at odds with each other. Number two, modern science actually has roots in Christianity. Did you know this? Modern science can thank Christianity in a lot of ways. So there's this guy named Alvin Plantinga. You ever heard of this guy? And if you're into philosophy, I highly recommend you read this dude. This guy is considered to be so smart, he has influenced philosophers in our nation. In fact, one atheist guy said, this guy has almost single-handedly turned over the philosophy departments within our universities in America because there's so many believers in the philosophy departments because of the influence of this one guy, Alvin Plantinga. He is that smart. And so he said this. He said, the thing that we presently call modern science was actually conceived and born and flourished in the matrix of Christian theism. Many of the great scientists over the last 400 or 500 years have been believers in Jesus. Not all of them, obviously, but many of them have. And this picture that's portrayed now of Christians are scared of evidence, they're scared of rational thinking, they're scared of science, it's not true. In fact, the university was a 12th century invention by Christians. They wanted to put this together, this place together where we could gather all knowledge and information and study it and teach it. Christians established this. Yale, Harvard, those were all established by Christians. So, won't go on that any longer, but in short, modern science can thank Christianity for a lot of what it sees and experiences today. Number three, there's a difference between operational science and origin science. What's the difference? Operational science deals with things that you can currently, right now, test and prove. It's operational. I can test and prove when does water freeze? When does it boil? Smart, brilliant dudes have mapped out the entire human genome. That's cool. They can test and prove all this stuff and do all, like that's awesome. Okay, that's operational science. Then you got origin science that deals with events from the past that we cannot test and we cannot prove because we can't test them. People like to lump this all together, but it's a little bit different type of a science. There's even some CSI that goes into some of this type of a science. But evolution falls into this category. We cannot prove evolution. And can I just say as a side note that even if evolution is true, it doesn't prove that there is no God. I think it's important we understand that. Okay, so what if it is true? It doesn't prove there's no God. But evolution cannot be proven. It requires a lot, I could emphasize a lot, a whole lot of guessing. And when scientists and especially paleontologists take a step back and look at this fossil record that they have put together that shows an evolutionary chart and the evolution of man, if they're really honest with themselves, they admit this. There's a lot of guesswork here. In fact, one of the really smart Harvard paleontologists admitted it. He's an atheist. His name is Stephen Jay Gould. He says this: "The extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil record persists as the trade secret of paleontology. The evolutionary trees that adorn our textbooks have data only at the tips and nodes of their branches. The rest is inference." What's he saying? It's all speculation, if I were honest. We line up all these fossils, and then there's all these gaps. There's a huge gap here, huge gap here, huge gap here, huge gap here, huge gap here. No proof, no way to test it and prove that this is fact. Yet, it's amazing how often I have heard from people's mouths, since evolution is a fact, we can trust it. It's not a fact. You can't even prove evolution. There's holes, major, major holes. And so I won't talk too much longer about this, because we spent a whole Sunday in this series about evolution. If you're interested in that, go back and listen to it. But one of the things I did mention is people look at this and they're like, look how common they all are. And it's, you can see a progression here. So the question is, does that speak to common ancestor or common designer? Some people say, oh, look, ancestor, 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 or it could be common designer. Okay, so it's important we open our mind to the other possibilities that there could be something else out there, but they struggle with that. So let me just say, evolution is not a proven fact. And there's a lot of scientists out there who do not believe in evolution. It's important you know that. A lot of smart, brilliant scientists who don't believe in evolution. So operational science deals with facts. Origin science deals with faith. So let's talk about that. Number four, every belief is a faith position. Let's get real when we're talking about this. Every belief that you have is a faith position. Even the most convinced atheist has a faith position. Because we don't know. It's faith. And some people would say, well, I only go where the evidence and where history is going to take me. They might even say, I don't operate out of a bias or any assumptions. But the truth is, we all do. We have to be honest with ourselves that we all have a predetermined agenda based upon our worldview. Yeah. Every single one of us, okay? Everyone believes in something and makes assumptions that cannot be proven by science. Everyone, even scientists. So for instance, take this. An atheist might say, because they would believe that this life is all that we have. And so they would say, if someone's suffering and then they die, well, at least they're not suffering anymore. But the question is, how do they know? Can you prove it? Scientifically, you can't. And if science is all we got, then how are you going to prove that statement scientifically? That is a statement based upon an assumption that really is based upon faith. Right? You can't prove that. So to take that even a step further, to say, I only believe in what is proven through science is a conviction that itself cannot be proven by science. Did you catch that one? Am I losing you and falling asleep here? Did I go over your head? Okay. I want to write that one down. Did I get that one on the screen? No, I missed that one. I should have put that one on the screen. Sorry. To only believe what is proven through science is a conviction that itself cannot be proven by science. So science, in a lot of ways, has roots in philosophy, because the conclusions that many scientists come to are shaped and predetermined by their worldview. There's a guy named Richard who's a Harvard University biologist. He admits this. He admits, like, hey, me and my scientists, my colleagues, we prefer naturalistic explanations. We prefer atheistic explanations to our studies. And this is what he said. He said, we have a prior commitment to materialism. It's not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our presumptive adherence to material causes. We cannot allow a divine foot in the door. I appreciate the honesty in that, actually. Because you're saying, hey, this is where we're at. Okay, so that's because we all got to admit, we all have some assumptions based upon a worldview. But what's he saying there? He's saying, hey, we like to explain science as it relates to what we believe, and that's materialism and evolution. And so all of our studies are going to point to what I believe. Science is going to prove evolution and materialism. It's not going to prove anything else. We're not open to other possibilities because we don't believe in other possibilities. And we especially aren't going to allow God to be part of the solution because we really don't believe in him. So let's not allow a divine foot in the door. Consider this. When the Big Bang theory was originally discovered, it was rejected by the scientific community. Did you know this? They wanted nothing to do with Big Bang. They were scared, like, oh, that sounds too much like the Judeo-Christian worldview of there was a beginning to all of this. Uh-oh. We don't want to admit that there's a beginning to all this because all of a sudden all the Christians would be like, told you so. And so the scientific community rejected it. Einstein, I think, was one of the first guys to discover this. And he actually kind of covered it and pushed it aside. He didn't want to deal with it. He didn't talk about it. He later on called it one of the biggest mistakes of his career. He really regretted it because as a scientist, he should have showed his discoveries. Well, once you know Hubble, through his Hubble telescope, he confirmed Einstein's fear, and that was that the universe had a beginning. So scientifically, this has been proven. It's a proven fact. In science, there was a beginning to the universe. So now that science can't ignore that, it has other explanations as to, well, this is how it happened. Okay, so the question really is this, then what caused the beginning? How did it all start? And there the debate begins, right? So if we're going to say, okay, let's talk about being rational here. What is more rational, to believe that nothing started it or to believe that something started it? That's why I think faith in God is more rational than faith in nothing. And yet they look down on me because I'm like, yeah, you're just faith. That's just stupid. Well, you thought nothing started this. Let's go there for a few moments. Like nothing? Like seriously? That takes faith too. Again, it's a faith position. It takes a lot of faith. In fact, my opinion, it takes more faith to believe that nothing caused this than that God caused this. It's faith. So as a believer, we understand what faith is, what it centers around. Hebrews 11, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Yep. Now, what we now see, amen, yep, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Which, think about that sentence right there. Because God spoke, nothing became something. And that's pretty powerful. And so that's by faith we see God created this. There is a designer, a creator to all that is created, to all that we see in the natural world. So lastly, here's where I would land the plane. I would say this, that science gives overwhelming evidence for God. Overwhelming. This is number 5 if you're taking notes. Science gives overwhelming evidence for God. There's this really smart guy named Francis Collins. And I know he's smart because he was one of the leaders of the people that mapped out the human DNA. He was part of the Human Genome Project. He was one of their leaders. Any guy a part of that, pretty smart. While he was researching and studying biology in university and then practicing it and studying it, he became a believer in Jesus. He's looking at the biology stuff and really through science, he's like, there is a God. And he found faith in Christ through all this. Then later on, he became one of the leaders of the Human Genome Project. And he wrote a book out of this. If this interests you, you could go to this book. It's called The Language of God. As he talks about the discovery of DNA and mapping out and decoding what DNA actually is. The Language of God. But for him, it was like science obviously is like, look at this. Look at the DNA. God. Design, there's no way, like, that's still, even at the smallest point of DNA, it's still just material. How is there life in us when we're just made of material particles? How do you explain that? Science can't. That's what we'll get there in just a moment. But think about the vastness of the universe and all the stars. Another evidence that there is a God. Alan Rex Sandage, considered to be one of the greatest cosmologists of all time. This is what he said. He said, it's my science that drove me to the conclusion that the world is much more complicated than can be explained by science. And I'd agree. As cool as science is, the world's more complicated than the answers science gives us. I mean, take a look at the eyeball. It just baffles scientists. They can study it. They can explain, well, this is how it works, and it goes into the retina, and it goes into these things, and there's like 4.0 trillion of those in your eyeball. I don't remember the names of all this stuff. And they can explain how it works. They don't know, like, why? Why does this work? Yeah. Science can't explain that. I am just fascinated at the fact that scientists can explain it. They can break down the eyeball and look at all that stuff, like, wow, that's cool. But we still don't know why. Because science can't help with the why. Why does this all work? Why do you and I have life and have the ability to think? We got a brain, but how do we have a mind and a conscience and emotions and ability to love and experience and interact with one another? How does that even happen? Science cannot explain that. And a couple days ago, in that leadership conference, we listened to a neuroscientist talk about how the brain functions. This was fascinating. Dr. Caroline Leaf, anything by her is just like profound. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And so she's talking about how the brain operates, how it functions, how you and I can change our thoughts, and how your brain is separate from you, actually. You are not your brain. And you can change your brain by changing your thought patterns and all of this. And then she didn't say this in the conference, but if you listen to her in church Christian settings, she'll say, and all of this science is really catching up with Romans 12:2, which, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your life will be changed as your mind is renewed, and God can help you do that. So it's fascinating listening to her. She talks about how as you're, you know, right now, even as you're listening to me, you're thinking thoughts. Okay, and make sure those thoughts are sticking with me. Okay, stay engaged here. Okay, but you're thinking thoughts. And out of those thoughts, you actually are producing matter. Matter is being produced in your brain through thoughts. There's a thought. How does material produce more material? Through your thoughts, more matter is being produced. Our brain has the capacity to do this throughout the rest of our life and interprets data. We interpret each other. And actually, as we interact with each other, we're essentially just like our minds and our conscience interacting with each other. It's way more than just a physical interaction. There's something going on mentally through our minds. How does that work? I don't know, but it's cool. And it's amazing and it's mind-blowing. Because here's the point. Science brings us to an end. There's an end to science. Can I just say, let it go on record, I love science. Okay, so I'm not anti-science by any means in this message. Like, I'm a sci-fi nerd. I love aliens and dinosaurs. And if you've been around here for a while, you know that. I love Star Wars and Star Trek and star stuff and all that. So I'm a sci-fi guy. I love science. Science to me is awesome. It's fascinating. It's so cool, but there's an end to it. And yet the other side of it, you can't explain the why. What's going on? There has to be better answers than what science can provide for this stuff. And so people will say, science gives us everything that we need. I would say science is great, but no, it doesn't. And here's how you have to test your worldview or whatever faith you have landed in. You've got to test it with these really four main questions of life. Every worldview attempts to address these four fundamental questions in life. Number one is origin. How did we get here? Number two is meaning. Why are we here? Number three is morality. Where do our values come from? This is where science really struggles, by the way, guys. Because if we're all a product of naturalistic evolution, how on earth do we have values? Because the value of naturalistic evolution is survival of the fittest. And so it's each for his own. You do whatever you can to survive. It's you don't care about anybody else. You don't look to the least of these and love and help and nurture and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't even make sense within naturalistic evolution because it's survival of the fittest. Last one standing wins because they live. And so where's morality in all of that? It doesn't answer the question of morality. And even some atheists admit, it's fascinating to hear them to admit, by making this decision, I admit I'm making a very un-Darwinian decision. How do you and I even have the capacity to make an un-Darwinian decision? And the fact that you're admitting that shows that this whole, it doesn't provide everything that we need. And then the last one's destiny. What happens after we die? Every worldview, every religion, every faith seeks to understand the answer to these four main questions in life: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. And to answer these questions, you need these two things. You need one, reasonable evidence, and two, you need coherence. Is there reasonable evidence to the answer of this, okay, which is matching evidence that makes reasonable sense, and then coherence? All four of these have to go together. So the answer for one of them has to go with the other three. Is there reasonable evidence and coherence and all of that? So take every worldview, every faith position, every religion, and answer and address all of these and line it up to Christianity. And in my opinion, Christianity answers them the best. It makes sense logically more than any other worldview that you would look at. So the question I think everyone has to ask is this, is my faith position valid if I consider the evidence? Is my faith position valid if I really consider the evidence? So at the end of some people's lives, they're going to get to this place and they're going to realize all the evidence was there and I interpreted it wrong. And I feel for those people. And that's why I think God has given us a mission, guys. Hey, you see all this cool science stuff? You see this DNA, how we mapped out DNA? God. That's a design. There's a designer to this design. It's God's given us this mission to tell the world that he is real. He's the creator. He made all of this stuff up. Romans 1:20, we can trust it. God can be clearly seen through what has been made. Nature points us to God. And what I love is it gets even more personal than that, because Jeremiah 1 reminds us, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Man, the Creator knew who you were before you were formed in your mom's womb. If you're hanging out with your mom today, if you have the privilege to do that, look at your mom's womb and say, man, and think about the thought that you were in there. You used to be there. Stomach, sorry. You know what I meant. Come on, people. Sorry, I just went back to the text of Scripture. I'm just trying to be scriptural. But God knew us even before that moment that we were thought of or conceived. God knew who we were. That, my friends, is so profound and so mind-blowing. And as you read throughout the totality of this book, we see that he loves us so much. God knows us and he loves us. And the end result is that he wants you and I to know him. That's what he wants. He wants us to know him. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray. Please forgive me for that slip. Oh, again, guys, so important for us to understand this and wrestle through this stuff. I don't want you to be someone who, like, oh, I don't want to think about all the problems that people have with Christianity. They just need to have faith and they just need to go to the Bible. A lot of people aren't going to accept that. We need to be able to talk with them, engage in conversations. And that's why we have these types of series. Hey, next week we're starting a new series. Some of you are excited because you're ready to move on. But it's called I Want to Be Rich. And so if that's your desire, come back next week. We'll talk about it. I want to be rich. All right? It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. Hey, would you join me in prayer? Lord, we come to you right now and just so thankful for this truth that is so profound, that before we were born, you knew us. And so I just pray, God, right now by your love, by your Spirit, Lord, that you draw us closer to you. Lord, so many of us, Lord, we've committed to you. We've said yes to you. We're following you. We put our trust in you. But God, draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that our faith would be strengthened in light of a topic like this, Lord, knowing that we can trust in you. You are the creator. You put this all together. You are almighty, all-powerful, and in charge. So God, I pray for a greater faith today in who you are. And in that, Lord, draw us closer to you, that our relationship with you would be strengthened. Lord, for those that maybe are far from you, they've not said yes to you, they haven't committed to you, Lord, I pray that today would be a day that they could take a step closer to you and maybe even commit to you and say yes to you fully. I pray that you would draw them right now by your love, by your Spirit. If you're here this morning, eyes closed, please, right now, in this moment, just so we can all think and just focus. That's the only reason why. If you're here this morning and you say, man, I really feel like I need to say yes to Jesus. I need to start following him. Here's what it takes. It takes you and I realizing that we've sinned. We've messed up, okay? We understand this world is broken and messed up. Well, the reason that is because of our sin. So you need to realize you sinned. You've rebelled against God. You've tried to do it in your own way. But Jesus took the place of death for your sin on the cross. See, you and I are supposed to die because of our sin, but Jesus says, no, I don't want you to die. I want to take your place. So you ask for forgiveness for your sin. You accept what Jesus did. You step into that relationship with him. And then, like we talked about earlier, you become a child of God. You become a part of the family of God. But you got to come to this place where you realize you need him. And you repent and ask for forgiveness for your sins. And then it's saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. So if you're here today and you say, that's me, Tyrone. Today's my day. Mother's Day, 2019. I'm going to say yes to Jesus. Commit to him. I'd love for you to slip your hand up right now. We're going to pray. Anybody that would say, that's me, Tyrone, today, I'm going to commit my life to following Jesus, put my trust in him. Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you for who you are and for what you did for all of us on the cross. In a few moments, Jesus, we're going to take a moment to just thank you, and many of us will participate in the communion elements that you told us to do. I just thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus, we are eternally grateful for you.
Again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.